So we left off the other day. We were discussing the machlekes between Rabbi Natan and the other Rishonim at exactly what moment in time does the Shoah Niska become Aser Manoah. So according to the simple reading of the Gemara, like most of the Rishonim, it actually becomes Aser at the time of Gemar Din, once the Beis and Paskin is at its Chayim Misa, and already at that point you cannot use it to work, cannot use it to ride with, etc. According to Rabbi Natan, the Gemar Din is important because it sets the ball into motion, but the real emes of the Iser doesn't actually kick in until after the animal is dead. And when I say the animal dead, doesn't matter whether it was Niska, whether it was Nishchat, but the bottom line is the animal is dead, after Gemar Din, that is when the Iser begins. So the Nafkamina between Rabbi Natan and the other Rishonim was a very small window of opportunity between the Gemar Din and the Shas Misa. So we had a few Gemaras back and forth and back and forth, which some of them sounded very much against Rabbi Natan, and there was one that Rabbi Natan put up on a pedestal as being the source for what he was for his entire Shita. And that was the Gemara that talks about the possibility of being chayav dal vehei for the person who steals the Shoah Niskol and shechts it. How does that impact on Rabbi Natan? Because there happens to be another Gemara that talks about the potential requirement in order to be chayav for Ganav V'Tavach. One can only be chayav for Ganav V'Tavach if one could just as easily have been chayav for Ganav V'Mochar. Tavach V'Mochar is a package deal, and Kol Sheyeshno B'Mechira Yeshno B'Tavicha. So says Rabbi Natan, if I connect the dots, I'll tell you that if all of you Rishonim are right, that once the Gemar Din kicks in, it's all over, it's also bana, it's not yours anymore, and therefore it's Eina B'Mechira. Well, if it's Eina B'Mechira, then by extension it should be Eina B'Tvicha, and that's against the Gemara. The Gemara does talk about the possibility, maybe a little bit of a strange possibility, but there is a possibility, a theoretical possibility out there, of Tava, of Gona V'Tavach Shoranisko being Chayav Da'al Behei. How could that be? Says Rabbi Natan, must be a proof to what I'm saying. It's not really Aser Manoah right now, and I really could sell it. I may not get the best price for it, because it's only worth riding for the next 10 minutes, but I'll get a few pennies I'll get for it. That was Rabbi Natan's riot. We left off on Wednesday with a problem, because the Gemara itself, and the sixth of the Mar Makabos, tells us that Nigmar Dino, Mochor, and a Mochor. The Gemara itself says in a Mochor. So what's Rabbi Natan? Rabbi Natan is bringing a whole Shtekel Torah, that of course you could be mocher it, of course it's really yours, of course the mechir will be valid, but the Gemara says the mechir is not valid. So Rabbi Natan said, no, that's not what it means. When the Gemara says mocher in a mocher, all that means is, don't think that selling it is going to solve the problem for this ox. Don't think, oh, now that I sold it, now the Beis Din is going to let you use the ox for the next 20 years. No, forget it. Ein ma'an is the Beis Din is going to go right after the new purchaser of the ox. Even though it belongs to him, he was kona adavra mutabana, but Beis Din's still going to go after that ox because mitzvah was so close. So Rabbi Natan took the Gemara of a Kama Memdal that says mocher in a mocher, basically threw it out, basically discarded it. Doesn't really mean what it says. And the emes is that the mechir will be chal. So that's Rabbi Natan's version as of Wednesday. Now Rabbi Natan himself is going to make a little in about face on 7th of the Mar Makamos. Let's pick it up at the top of the 7th of the Mar Makamos. So we'll just read very quickly in one line what Rabbi Natan just said, which just took us 10 minutes to explain. V'had yom ha'shulei perek dal be'ei, d'shor shenig madino mocho eno mocho, afilu raja. Means you can't sell it for anything. No, ha'ina mishum the osalanos dino mitzvah l'soklo. That doesn't really mean it can't be sold. It just means that you can't delay killing it. There's a mitzvah to be soklo in, and therefore you want to use it for the next 3 minutes on the way to the Beis HaSkila maybe, but it's not going to be more than that. The ode. And now Rabbi Natan part two. Tosas part two with Rabbi Natan. The ode. The ein lo mecher. That is also a question whether that next word is there or not. But I'm not sure which way to read it. I know that usually we don't read in the parentheses. Here, reading the parentheses actually makes it a little bit smoother. The ein lo mecher ve ein lo baile. Valokech ein yocholiskos bo yosu bishar adam. So comes the Tosos, Bidas Rabbi Natan, and seems to say that Ein lo mecher, according to Rabbi Natan, means literally, means really truly Ein lo mecher, that there really is no mechira that took place. Why is there no mechira that took place? Because there's no real owner on the shore after Nigmar Adin. Oh, wait a second, what do you mean there's no owner on the shore? Rabbi Natan just told you, whole Shtel Torah, that Bechayim, the animal still mutabana. So how can Rabbi Natan do an about face and tell you that no, it's mutabana, but the owner doesn't really own it? So the answer is, according to this vote, it's very, very cryptic with Tosfos beings, but l'chayr with Tosfos is driving it as follows, that we usually think if it's mutabana, then you own it. If it's Osla Na, then you don't own it. That equation may not be true. It could be that it's Mutaba Na, and you still don't own it. Why don't you own it? Because the Torah is taking it away from you. The Torah is saying, Beis Din, go after that shore, go be soko that shore, don't delay. There's an Isla Adasas Din, not a lot of delay once you're digging my Din. Comes Tosas and says, according to Benetam part 2, that once there's a mitzvah skila, the mitzvah skila itself is the motzi mishuso. It's not the Isra Hanah Shabo that's motzi mishuso, but when you have an object that Lamaisa, the Beis Din's got its hands on already, the Beis Din's got already pulling the shore away from you, even though the guy's begging and screaming, can I at least ride it to the Beis HaSkila? Yeah, we'll let you ride to the Beis HaSkila, but not more than that. We're not going to take you work on it for too long. So such an animal, such a Cheftza, that the Torah is already removing out of your Rishos, ain't lo bailam. There's no ownership on that item in the first place. And now, if the person would try to sell that, the mechira wouldn't work. You know why? Because you can't sell what you don't own. So whereas according to the first version of Rabbeinu Tam, ein lo mecher didn't really mean anything. Machre to machor was just a nice way of saying, Beis Din's going to come after you soon. But meanwhile, the mechira was valid. Tosus, the second version of Tosus, Bidda Asra Rabbeinu Tam, says that ein lo mecher means kipshuto, that machre ein lo machor mamish pshuto kemashmo. Of course, there's a big problem with this second version of Rabbeinu Tam. It undermines Rabbeinu Tam's entire theory. It undermines his entire raya. What was the grandiose raya for Rabbeinu Tam? How did Rabbeinu Tam know that the Shor Nisqal is Mutaba Na? Because if it wouldn't be Mutaba Na, then it would not be B'mechira. And if it wouldn't be B'mechira, then it wouldn't be B'tvicha. So Tosas themselves just turned around and says, hey, wait a second, according to what we just said, even Rabbeinu Tam concedes that's Ein of B'mechira. So Tosas' entire raya just self-destructed according to the Ve'od. So who makes this Ha'ara? Tosas themselves. So there's a line tucked away. I think we chopped off that line, but there's a line. It's a Tosas. When you read this Baruch Mocham, you get the impression it's a 6-line Tosas. It's about 150 line Tosas. It's a huge, huge, huge Tosas. I just put a very, very snip in there. So somewhere in the middle of this Tosas, about 30 lines later or something, Tosas says, oh, by the way, according to our second Teretz, it's a great Teretz, except it just undermines Rabbeinu Tam's entire Raya. So when all the dust settles, we're not quite sure how Rabbeinu Tam read the Gemara, Mocher Ein HaMocher. There's a Gemara. You can't argue with the Gemara. We read the Gemara together, but for Kamadaf Mem Dalin, what does that mean according to Rabbeinu Tam? So according to the first version of Rabbeinu Tam, it means that the Mechira is valid. It just means Beis Din's going to do something about it soon. And the second version of Rabbeinu Tam means, no, the Mechira is not valid. What prevents the Mechira from being valid? Not the Isser HaNoh, because there is no Isser HaNoh yet. What prevents the Mechira from being valid is the fact that Beis Din's got his hands on this animal. But again, this is all B'das Rabbeinu Tam. According to the simple reading of the Gemara, when you go back to that Gemara, the sixth of the Ma'amar comes, Machar in a Machar, the Pashup Shad is Machar in a Machar, because it's Asab Hanah. So even though we spent the last 2 days spending a lot of time in Rabbeinu Tam, let's go back now to Rav HaRishon. You have to give at least Rav HaRishon equal time. So let's go back to Rav HaRishon. Let's go back again to Ma'amar Makam number 6. Let's just reread it again and make sure we understand what Ma'amar Makam number 6 is actually saying. So at the end of Ma'amar Makam number 6, we say, Mishenigma Dina, the second line. Once there's Nigma Din, the following things happen. Machro Eino Machar. You cannot be Machrit. Vegdisho Eino Muktosh. And you cannot be Machdisho. Shachto Besor Asar. Once you shecht it to be his Asar. Hegzir Shalom Balav Eino Muchsar. The Shoma can't return it to the Balav. He can't say the magic words of Reshach Fanecha. So basically, all of this is a result from one statement, according to Rav HaRishon. Forget a bit of time for a minute. Rav HaRishon will learn. They take the Gemara Kipshuto, they take the name of Asugya Kipshuto, Shor Shenig Medina Asabano. So it is the Isser Hanah Shabo that is preventing you from selling this animal. And now we have to go back to the drawing board and ask ourselves, why is that so? What is it about an Isser Hanah that prevents me from selling something? Let's take it out of the realm of Shor Nisko for a second. Let's go into the realm of Orla, Kiryat Kerem, Fasa B'cholov, Petach Chamor, you name it. You pick whichever Isser Hanah you want to talk about. You want to talk about Chometz Pesach, you name it. Something that's Asav Hanah, according to Rav HaRishonim, what the Gemara is saying is that you don't have the ability to sell it, and the question is, why not? What is it about it being Asav Hanah that prevents sale? Why don't I say as follows? Isser Hanah is a Yoredei HaLocha, it's an Orachayim HaLocha. I'm talking about Mechir, it's a Mechir Mishpat. It's Asav Hanah. On a religious ritual level, I can't eat it, I can't use it. But in terms of transferring ownership, why not? What is preventing me from transferring ownership on a Davar Asabana? So there is a Gemara in the 8th of the Ramah Kamos. The Gemara Masechah Sukh and Daf Lamed Hay and Aleph. I don't remember whether we got this far last year in Masechah Sukh, we made it to Daf Lamed Hay. But if we would have, we would have spoken about it last year. I think we fell just quite short of this last year. So comes the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Lamed Hay and Aleph and is commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us in Sukkah that if you have an Esrog Shel Orla, that's what comes in the first 3 years, so one cannot fulfill the mitzvah with an Esrog Shel Orla. Why exactly is that? So very, very unclear. So the Gemara in Sukkah Lamed Hay and Aleph tells us, Orla Shel Orla Posel, my time, why is it not acceptable? Pligibar Rabbi Chibar Avim Rabbi Asi, Chad Amal Vishayim Baheter Achila. So one of the reasons why you can't be Yotze is because you can't eat it. So since you can't eat this esrog, therefore you can't be Yotze with this esrog, which of course is very hard to understand. So I won't eat it. So I won't eat esrog jelly. So I won't make it into esrog schnapps. So I want to be Yotze the mitzvah of the aluminium. So what is the fact that I can't eat it? Why is that prevent me from not being able to fulfill my mitzvah? So we take a look at the 9th of the Mamre Kamos. So the Ritva in Sukkah Daf Lamed Hamid Aleph, the Ritva, which we've said in the past, that the Ritva in Masechet Sukkah for many years was published incorrectly. It was published under the name of the Rashba for many, many hundreds of years. So the Achronim thought that the Chiddushei Ritva were actually the Rashba. And then 100 years ago or so they discovered that it wasn't the case. So there are groups of Achronim, every once in a while, you'll see Yesk Yakasha. How could the Rashba say this? If the Rashba said something else in a different Masechta. So the answer is he didn't say it in here. It wasn't him, it was the Ritva. So it was a little bit of a mix up in terms of who wrote what. But it's not as bad as a mix up as the Rans in Masechta Shabbos. There were three different Rans in Masechta Shabbos, and we have no idea who wrote what. So that, we know for a fact that the Ran didn't write one of them. The Ritva wrote one of them. There's a phantom Chedusha Ran floating around somewhere, and then there's a third Chedusha Ran floating around somewhere. So we know that they're all written at the same time, but no one has. In the introduction, the Chedusha Ran is about 100 pages. Try to figure out, did the Ran write that one? Did he write that one? Did he write that one? No one's exactly sure who wrote what, but they're all great. But we're not sure who wrote them. So over here, we know, we finally figured out that it was actually the Ritva who wrote this. So the Ritva quotes the name of the Ravid. Why is it that an Esrog Shel Orla is not acceptable? So at the end of the first line, in the 19th Ramah Kamos, Pirusha Ravid, Devarim Kipshutam. I guess the Ravid considered it to be Kipshutam. That the reason is the Pashas is, Shehu Osur Be'achila. Since it's Osur Be'achila, and he doesn't really only mean Be'achila, he means Osur Be'achila Uvahano. Orla happens to be something that you're not allowed to derive benefit from either. And therefore comes the magic phrase, Felo Karina Be'lochem. And therefore, it is not considered to belong to you. And one of, the requirements for Dalad Minim, Lekachtem Lechem, it has to be Shaloi, it has to belong to you. Indeed, in Mamanus, it no longer belongs to you. So the Ravid, as he claimed, Kipshutam, just read into Agamara the following, the Gemara in Sukkot of Lamed Hay. When the Gemara says, Ein Ba'etar Achila, that's a code phrase, that means you can't eat it, and v'chulei, 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 you can't use it, v'chulei, 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 and therefore, what you can't eat and can't use in halacha doesn't belong to you. The Torah was just mafkir. Torah just removed your bialis from it. And since it doesn't belong to you, therefore you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of lukachtem lachem. Now, this Ravid, believe it or not, is a tremendous kula. Because according to the Ravid, the only reason why you can't be yotze with dal minim because it's orla is only because it's not lachem. This would only apply to the first day of Sukkot or Svek of the Yom on the second day for Chutz Laretz. But this would not apply to the rest of the week. The Mishnah says explicitly that I am allowed to borrow a lulav and esrog after the first day. There is no requirement of lachem after the first day. So if according to the Ravid, the entire posel for dalad midim was only the entire posel for the esrog shel orla was the fact that it's not called lachem, after the first day when lachem doesn't apply, then it will become permissible. So let's say if you have a year when the first day falls out on Shabbos, you live in Eretz Yisrael, so that's the year to invest in your Esrog Shel Orla. Nothing wrong with that. You could be Yotzei the Mitzvah because it's not lachem. Big deal. Who cares? It doesn't have to be lachem. So the Ritva takes issue with this Ravid, the Ritva himself. In the next line, it's a little bit, we skip it a few lines, but the Ritva asks the bomb cash against the Ravid. In the next line, now Ritva, my Mokom number 9, Visu Devade Komide Davidide Rishu say the lay space chusla chem lachem karina bay. Says the Ritva, what makes Orla not lachem? If say, I have these glasses and I sell the glasses to you, then I understand why the glasses are not mine. If I have an esrog that I give you as a gift, that I understand why it's not lechem anymore. But the fact that the Parshas Kedoshim tells me, don't eat the esrog, don't eat the orla, don't use the orla, why does that impact on Chashim Mishpat? How does that detract from my lechem? It's lechem, and I'm not allowed to use it. So what's the big deal? So therefore, the Ritva says, if it's lechem, and I'm not allowed to use it, so why can't I be yotzi in the midst of the aluminium? So what are you going to tell me a story that, no, you can't be yotzi because that's called being nana? That's not what's bothering me. We have a rule in Rosh Hashanah Kavches, mitzvah slavi hanus nenu. The fact that a person does a mitzvah with something that's asa banoah, that's not called a hanoah, that's called a mitzvah. Mitzvah luchun, hanoah luchun. So basically, the Ritva questions the Ravid. He says, how could the Ravid read into the Gemara that the reason why you're not yotzi? The Gemara just says, we have no idea what that means. So how could you translate that to me? It's not lochem. What do you mean? Why is it not lochem? What detracts from lochem? The fact that it's also banal. So there's a major machlokes now between the Ravid and the Ritva. What can or cannot be called lochem? According to the Ravid, a davar also banal is not yours, finished. According to the Ritva, that is not true. So going back to the aluminium for a second, so according to the Ritva, why are you not yotze? So if the Ravid's reason is not correct, so talk about why are you not yotze? What did the Gemara mean when it said ein behetar achila? So the Ritva himself explains, in Great Arichas we left the part out, but the Ritva explains that the reason why you're not yotze is for a totally completely different reason. The Gemara says that an esrog has a certain shear to it. It has to be a certain size. I think it has to be a size of a kebetz, a size of an egg goes. It has to be a certain size. We pass it a kebetz. It's got to be size, minimum size of an egg. We have a rule that anything that's omid lekach to be burnt, we have a rule called ksuse mechta shiure. Anything that the halacha requires to be destroyed, you have to burn it. So we can't view it as having a shear anymore. We view it as if it's just a pile of ashes. And as a pile of ashes, the ashes are not mitzvahed together. You have to have one entity. Let's say, Lamosha, I would take an esrog, I would chop the esrog up to 100 pieces, and now I would say, I'm going to come first day, so just pick them all up in my hand and say, I'm yotzei mitzvah. That's no good, because that's a chis. Even though the whole esrog is there, but it's not mechubi yachad, it's not mitzvah yachad, it's lacking the shear. So too, if, although physically the esrog is here, but if through the eyes of the halacha, the esrog is chopped into pieces, kesuse mechshur, it's as if it's chopped up into little pieces, so then the esrog is not considered to be mitzuref yachad, and it's chaser in the shear. So the Ritva says, you want to know why you're not yaitse the mitzvah with an esrog shel orla? When the Gemara says, lefisha ein behetar achila, the Gemara doesn't mean to say that it's not called lachem. It is called lachem. Why in the world does an esrog hanoah detract from lachem? The reason why you're not yaitse is because of kesuse mechta shiurei. And therefore, according to the Ritva, it'll be possible even after the first day. Because the shear of an esrog is necessary even after the first day. The din of lachem, that chazal weren't misachin after the first day. But the din of the shear is a shear. It's not a shear, it's a nishkin esrog. So comes the Ritva and says, the emissary reason of ein behetar achila has nothing to do with the din of lachem. It has everything to do with the din of a lack of a shear. Just parenthetically, why didn't the Ravid say that? We understand why the Ritva didn't say the Ravid's pshat. Why didn't the Ravid say the Ritva's pshat? So the answer most probably is that Orla is not really Oymid L'Sreif in the classic sense of the word. According to many Rishonim, at least, many Rishonim have the opinion that you're not really Mechuyiv to be Sorif Orla. If you want to be Sorif Orla, you're allowed to be Sorif Orla. And if you do, there may be certain benefits in Halacha. Maybe you can use the ashes afterwards. But in terms of being a real Chiyiv Gomer of Sreifa, it's not so simple, not so clear at all that you're Mechuyiv to be Sorif Orla. It could be that if you could figure out a good way of disposing it in another way, so maybe that would be sufficient. So that's a whole other world in and of itself. We had a Halacha L'maisa about that, the Esrog, right? The Esrog, the Clementines that we had to burn a couple of years ago, the Clementines of Orla, right? But getting back to that story, so we have two different approaches in the Rishonim, what the relationship, lack thereof, is between an Isser Hanah in Yeridaya and ownership rights in terms of Chashim Mishpat. According to the Ravid, the Isser Hanah results in a lack of ownership rights. According to the Ritva, there's no such thing. So now that we have this Machloikis, the Ravid and the Ritva, now we have to go back to the Gemara Mavakama. So the Gemara says, Nigmar Dino, Asab Hanah, Machor in a Machor. Now again, putting aside Rabbeinu Tam had a whole other world in terms of learning this Gemara, but we're going within the world of Rav Rishonim. Rav Rishonim understood the Gemara Kepshuto, that because it's Aseh Banah, therefore you don't have the ability to sell it. And the problem is, what's that therefore? So Bishlam, according to the Ravid, that Dvar Masur Banah don't belong to you in Chashim Mishpat. You can't sell what you don't own. So if the Torah is mafkia, you are bailus from it. If the Torah declares that davar osmano now translates in chesh mishpat to mean it's eno shelo, it's not yours, so then it's a done deal. Then obviously, if you don't own it, obviously, mocha ino mocha, the mechir is not going to take place. That's according to the Rebbe. But what about according to the Ritva? According to the Ritva, it says that Yisrael not do belong to you. They're 100% yours, if it's shalom, and if not for the quirk of Pesusei Mekdash Yurei, you would be able to be Yaitzei Dalaminim with it. It's called 100% Lachem in HaTorah. Your idea does not change the rules of Chashim Mishpat. So back to Baba Kama. So why does the Gemara say Daf Bimhei? Machar and Machar? Why not? Why can't I sell it? What is preventing me in Chashim Mishpat and Dinei Mamedes from selling it if I still basically own it? So in the 10th of the Ramah Kamos, we're not going to read the whole thing now. We'll give almost like the Rosh Hashanah now. We'll talk a little bit more about the beginning of the week next week. So the Ketzos and Simon Tavav develops his famous Yesod to solve this dilemma, to solve this problem, and to really open up our eyes with a fundamental principle concerning Yisrael Noah, Mamanus, Bailus, etc. So the Ketzos makes reference to a Gemara that appears in Maseches Bava Kamma in the 7th Perek. We've spoken about this Gemara in different times, different contexts. The Gemara develops the following Yisod, that there's ownership, namely is something mine, something belong to me, something shali. And then the Gemara says you could have something that you own. You are the bailim on this item. It's what's called shalo ve'eno b'shuso. If you want to know who has title on it, whose name is on the registration, yours, you are the owner. It belonged to you 20 years ago, it belonged to you 5 years ago, it belonged to you yesterday, you haven't sold it to anybody, you haven't been mafkrit, it still belongs to you, it's shalo. But something has occurred to enter into almost a new category of Dinei Mamonos, it's shalo ve'eino b'shuso. So the Gemara has this only in one case. There's only one example the Gemara gives, and then the Rishonim and Acharonim go to town about other possibilities, but the only application the Gemara has of this is gezeila. Gezel v'lo nisyash b'alam. I own an item, I own an animal, and you steal that item. So now, you walked away with this item, who owns the item? I still own the shore. The only thing that can make you own the shore is you would have to do a shinui on that shore. That's a whole other ballgame. It's a whole different world. But nothing's happened yet. You haven't changed the shore yet. You haven't done anything. Nothing has occurred that could potentially make this item yours. I haven't even been misyayish from yet. I haven't even given up hope. No, if I would have given up hope, that would open up a whole new world, whether Yush is a kidney or not. Those are things we spent a lot of time last year in the beginning of the Lugazel talking about. But nothing's happened. It's gezevo nisyayish rabbeilah. So if you ask me, I would say, it's mine. It's the one. I'm running after you, I'm screaming, I'm running to Bezi, I'm trying to get the animal back. It's 100% mine. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's 100% yours, but it's shalom ve'eino b'shuso. Now, what are the ramifications of that statement, that it's shalom ve'eino b'shuso? So that was a machlokes from Yochanan Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish says the ramifications of that statement are absolutely nothing. According to Rish Lakish, it's yours. So if you want to be machdash it, you can be machdash it, you want to sell it, you want to be, whatever you want to do, if it's yours, you could exercise your bailus rights, no matter what, because as long as it's shalom. Rabbi Yochanan is Mechadish, actually based on Psukim. Rabbi Yochanan learns out from Psukim that Rish Lakish had a different way of interpreting. And now, that once the item has been Yotzem Yershusi, even though it's still Shali, Gezav L'Nisya'a Shabbalim, Rabbi Yochanan, Gezav L'Nisya'a Shabbalim, Shneim Ein Michom Lakdisho. Neither party has the ability to be Machdishit. Zelefish Ein Shalo, Zelefish Ein B'Shuso. That the Gazlon does not have the authority to be Machdishit, because it's very simple. It's Ein Shalo. I can't be Machdish, Dovash Ein Shalo. I can't be Machdish your car. But the reason why I, as the full-fledged Bailim, can't be Machdishit, because even though it's Shalom, the fish ain't a bishus, so it's not considered to be in my rishus. So there is this new concept in halacha that doesn't detract from bailus, but affects my ability to transfer bailus to somebody else. I cannot transfer ownership to the Beis HaMikdash. Or, according to Rub the Rishonim, I cannot transfer ownership to even to somebody else. I cannot affect any change whatsoever of ownership on a chefza that shali v'yena b'shusi. And again, the model of the Gemara for that is gezela. Comes the Ketzos and Simit Avav and says, that's the emes of Pshat the Ritva. That a dover ha'osa b'hanah, argues the Ketzos, is shalom, according to the Ritva. It's not like the Rav who said it's not yours. It's yours. It's shalom v'ena b'shuso. That a dover ha'osa b'hanah is the halach equivalent of a dover ha'nigzol. Why that should be so, we have a lot of work to do. But that's the equation, that's the premise. The entire Shtikl Torah of the Ketzos hinges upon that truth. That a dover ha'osa b'hanah takes on the halachic category of shalom v'ena b'shuso. And as such, if it's ena b'shuso, mochor ena mochor, And that is the reason why you cannot sell the Shohan Iskol. So again, so we have a Gemara. The Gemara says that Machrein HaMachr, that's the Ferush Gemara, that Bavakavata Femdal Reveis, Vishidik Badina, Machrein HaMachr. And now we have for ourselves four different versions in the Rishonim as to why that statement, what that statement means, and why is that statement true. So we have to go back to Rabbeinu Tam for a second. According to Rabbeinu Tam, one version, version number one for Rabbeinu Tam is Machr and a Machr. It's not even true. It doesn't even mean it. How could it possibly mean that? If it's Mutar Bano, so of course I could sell it. So Machr and a Machr just means that Beis is not going to let the shore off the hook. We're going to come after the shore pretty quickly. That's what Machr and a Machr means, number one version. Number two version, according to Rabbeinu Tam, even though the Shohan Iskol is Mutar Bano, it's not yours. You know why? Because the Torah is grabbing it from you. Something that the Torah is about to take out of your hands in 10 seconds from now, the Torah is already taken out of your hands from now, even though it's Mutar Bano. And if you ride it right now, there's nothing wrong with riding it, but Beis Din's still taking it away from you. And therefore, it's Eino Mocher, therefore it doesn't belong to you. So we had Rabbeinu Tam version number one, that Itaka does belong to you, and the Mechira will be valid. Version number two is, Itaka does belong to you, and the Mechira is still not valid. That was Rabbeinu Tam's side. Now we have Rav HaRishonim who say it's Asabana. So according to the Ravid's version of Rav HaRishonim, if it's Asabana, therefore it's not yours, and that's why you can't sell it. According to the Ketzos's revamping of the Ritva's version, that it's Asabana, and it is yours, and you still can't sell it. You know why you can't sell it? Because of the secondary condition called Eino B'Shusel. So again, when you read this Gemara, I always tell the Bachar Mishiva when I want to let you know. I don't know if I want to make them feel good or feel bad. I always say to them, I said, so, okay, you read those words. We read the words together, Mocher and a Mocher. There are more pshatim than there are words in the statement. There are at least four different versions of the Rishonim. What in the world those three words, Mocher and a Mocher, mean? So I always say to them, I said, so when you read the Gemara, you understood right away. Didn't you see right away in those words? It's obvious that Mocher and a Mocher, depending on what you think about Kol Torah Kula, will impact it by what you think about those three words. But the Ketzos's pshat is a very intriguing pshat, because the Ketzos opens up the possibility for us that there is some new category that we created, that Yochanan created, Amar Yochanan Zelafisha Eina B'Shusel, and the Gemara only had it by Gezela, and the Ketzos made a huge leap of faith to extend that principle to a Davar HaSabana. So the only way we can ever know whether A equals B is you have to understand A and you have to understand B. We have to understand what is it about Gezela that makes it Eina B'Shusel. And if we understand the characteristics of Gezela that forced Rabbi Yochanan, compelled Rabbi Yochanan to create this category, in a sense, of Eino B'Shusel, then we'll be able to either challenge the Ketzos or accept the Ketzos, whether that extrapolation to Dvar Masur Bano is correct or not. So the Ritva is hinging on the Ketzos. Although we have three different versions in the Rishonim, what the Gemara means, we don't want to go down Rabbeinu Tam's two versions, because Rav HaRishon disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. We're not sure we want to go down the Ravid, because the Ritva disagrees with the Ravid. So we need a pshat. We need pshat number four very, very much. And we want to make sure this is a correct pshat. So this entire pshat is hinging on that equation. Davar Asmana is the lach equivalent of Gezela. So we don't know yet enough about Gezela to know what makes Gezela in a B'Shusel. Hopefully, on Tuesday, we'll find out that piece of information, and then we'll understand whether the Ketzos extrapolation should be accepted. Chapter 2.